and welcome to episode 21 of That Yoga Woman's podcast, a podcast where yogis, yoga teachers, and studio owners share stories of their lives on and off the mat. I'm Jules Buchanan, a yoga teacher and your host. This week, I'm talking to Melissa Campbell. Melissa is based in and around Luton, offering classes that fuse together mindful movement influenced by yoga, somatics, and qigong. She also teaches mudra-based meditation, mindfulness, self-care journaling, and culinary nutrition, offering her clients a holistic approach for self-care and women's wellness. Melissa, like many of us, has taken this period of enforced slowing down to take stock and focus on what she wants her business to look like going forwards. So we'll be talking about that, as well as how she's been getting on teaching online and what she's been doing with the extra time she's had on her hands since reducing her teaching hours. Also, like many of us, Melissa had previously taught yoga at gyms, studios, and community halls. But as the work dried up, she consolidated and focused on retaining her regular client base through online classes and membership offerings. As restrictions are starting to ease, we'll consider what the next couple of months might look like and how we can help more people to enjoy yoga. I also want to take some time to discuss whether Melissa has experienced any racism, either as a student or a teacher, and what her thoughts are regarding diversity in yoga. I know I say this about all of my guests, or at least if I don't say it out loud, I'd definitely think it, but Melissa is a very kind soul, a good friend, and I really hope that you enjoy listening to our conversation. So Melissa, hello, and thank you, and welcome to That Yoga Woman's podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you agreed to come on. Now, I just wanted to start off by checking something that I discovered when doing a bit of research on you. Is it right that your birthday is on the 1st of January?
It is indeed.
Hey,
you got that.
Party, right. Party. I just saw these people like, happy birthday on the 1st of January. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know anyone who's got a birthday on such a celebrated day already.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, it is that, isn't it? Well, I say no one forgets. Generally, people don't, like, people that I used to go to school with still remember that my birthday is New Year's Day. But often what happens is people will be like, Happy New Year. And then a couple of minutes later, it clocks, oh, yeah, and happy birthday. They'll remember it's my birthday.
And I bet you get a really long day as well, because if you're up at midnight, you'll be like, yay, it's my birthday. And then you go to bed and you're like, yay, get up again, it's my birthday.
Yes,
it's like a double.
That.
So how do you normally celebrate your birthday? Is it, do you normally do it in a kind of birthday way, or is it a New Year's Eve-y kind of way?
It's a joint thing. Some people go, oh, you must hate having a birthday on New Year's, but I don't. I love it because people are generally happy and, like you said, in that celebratory mood. And I just think there's something nice about me entering a new year of my life and it being a new start, like a new year. But I guess it's changed. More now I tend to celebrate it with family. So I'm home. Like, I've got to that stage where I'm like, I am not paying that much for how much for a taxi and to go where. So, yeah, I'm more kind of at home, do my own thing.
And would you not want a birthday in the middle of the year just to break it up a little bit?
No, I'm happy. I'll stick with New Year's Day.
No twisting, just stick. Good. So Melissa, I'd like to ask you if you remember your first yoga class. Where were you and what was the class like? Like, did you grow up in Luton?
Yes. Yeah. So born and bred in Luton. First yoga class was in Luton. And probably, I don't know, 20 plus years or so ago. And I don't know if I remember the first class. Like, I can't even remember how I landed up there, because I never went with friends or anything like that. I didn't know anybody in the class. But what I distinctively remember about going to that specific class was at that period in my life, I was in a really bad relationship. And it was just like a piece of solace for me. I would go there, and it's really weird because this is what I remember most, being in plough pose. I know. But I think it was just like, this is so like not what I would do in everyday life. And I guess that kind of gave me a sense of empowerment. I felt just really empowered there and calm there. And it was a real quite traditional yoga class, you know, with quite an emphasis on pranayama and meditation. So yeah, I don't know how I ended up there, but I'm glad I did.
Was it like a village hall style?
It was actually a bit like a sports hall, like a leisure centre. It was in a sports hall, but it wasn't like a gym or lots of classes were there. And actually, the woman that I went to, she's still teaching in Luton. I don't go to her class, but she's still teaching.
You say that like she must be ancient now.
No, I'm like, how amazing. Like, she's had a yoga career. Not that she's ancient at all. She isn't. But she's had that career for so long. It's amazing. Love it.
And so when did you think about becoming a teacher? Because I think at the start, people, certainly in my experience, you tend to have you like the going to the classes, but then something tends to happen where you're like, oh, I could become a teacher, or you see it advertised. Like, how did that transfer of thought happen for you?
I just guess I was at a turning point in my life, and I was at that kind of thing where I was like, what do I want the next chapter of my life to be? So
just rewind. So what were you doing before that point? Like, what was your job?
Oh, okay. So prior to teaching yoga, for about 15 years, like, I mean, I had other jobs, like, you know, school, uni kind of things. But like my career job, if you want, was working with young offenders. So I worked in youth justice for 15 years.
Oh, blimey. I didn't know that. Yeah. I feel like I know you, but I didn't know that at all. This was a bit of a surprise. So,
well, we have previous lives, don't we? We just get connected through yoga, and it's like, oh, you had a life before this.
I know, but it also, like I was saying before we started recording, that I wasn't sure what you did, and I don't know how interesting it would be. But that's so interesting.
And there's, like, spoiler alert, because your listeners don't know that we can see each other, and I saw from your face the shock and interest, so I'm glad you gave me that response, not the
oh, that was your prior job. Oh, okay, so I'm not going to ask any more questions about that. No, I'm really interested in that. So what kind of age groups of people did you work with?
So 10 to 17 year olds who got in trouble with the police. So either they would be on court orders, well, generally they would be on court orders, so we would supervise the order that the court gave. So I would go to court for the young people, I would carry out assessments, I'd do their intervention plans, and I'd supervise them in the community or in custody.
I bet there was there two sides to that. I'd imagine there'd be quite a getting a lot back for yourself if you had like success stories, but then also I think if there were failures, you'd take a lot personally. Is that right? Like, how did it work for you?
I guess you learn to measure success differently. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you don't go in with the, oh, I'm gonna, you know, this person will never offend again, and if they don't, I've done my job well, because it's just so much more complex than that. You know, it might be that actually getting them just to come and see you is a major achievement. You know, maybe they're still offending, but they're keeping their appointments, or you might get them work or a job, or so you just kind of, get to rate that on a different level. And sometimes you just think, well, maybe the seed's been planted. Maybe I won't see the change, but maybe that, and it, definitely it did. I remember getting a letter from a kid that I supervised that, it didn't seem on the surface that I was like helping, but he wrote for me, moved to London and wrote to me to tell me he'd got a job in a fish and chip shop and what he was doing and that, and just to say thanks. So like, when those sorts of things that mean the world, you'd be like so chuffed to hear about people. But of course, there were cases that were just tragic and upsetting, really, I guess, is the one. You know, you just wouldn't, you know, you read quite a lot of awful things about what's happened in their lives and stuff, and you know, there could be a lot of frustration involved in that as well. So it definitely was a mixed bag, but it was amazing period of my life. I loved the work, I loved the people that I worked with, and then eventually I came out of employment and I set up my own company, and I used to go round into different youth offending teams helping them prepare for government inspections. So I got to work with the staff, and that was I loved that as well, because I got to travel, wasn't in the office politics or anything like that. I wasn't having to kind of, you know, meet targets and everything, but I was supporting staff. So I did that for about 8 years, and that was right before going to teach yoga.
Wow. So you already had your own business before you set up your yoga business?
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like it was just by default. Both times when I've had this kind of turning point in my life, I've ended up in India. Go figure. As you do. What do you do? Don't know what to do. Get on a flight, get to India. And so the first time I went, I came back and landed this role. I was kind of freelancing. Somebody else would get the contract, they'd give it to me to go in and deliver it. And then through that, people started to hear about me, and I got approached, and somebody said, you should set yourself up as a limited company. And so I did. But it was just me. So it's just me, my little limited company, doing that for about 8 years.
Blimey. And this is a bit cheeky, so you can tell me to do one if you want. But I think it's a bit like yoga. You think, well, you don't really want to charge for that, because it's like, oh, I'm doing good. Therefore, you know, how do you set the rates? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how did the money side of that work? Is it just like a contract and you're based on your time, that sort of thing?
Yeah. And thankfully, because somebody else used to do it all, like they got the contract. So actually, because I probably would have undersold myself, I wouldn't have known any idea about that. And it's kind of like perverse, really, because when you do things like that, you can charge a lot more money than actually like what people are getting on the grassroots and the fields that are in there. So I already had that knowledge about this is the going rate for consultancy. So it was just expected. I don't think it was just part and parcel. Teams expect and services expected to pay that. You would maybe write a brief about what you would do, how long you think it would be, and what you would charge. Generally, people, they'd just come back and say, yeah.
Great. So that must have been quite a lucrative time in your life. And so did you go to India then? Were you like, oh, I'm going to go off to India again? Not really feeling this 100%. Was it quite, I imagine it was quite a stressful time.
It's the weird, my mum was like, so this is how it happened. So I was doing that consultancy, and I can't say that I didn't not like it. I did, but it just wasn't bringing me the same level of joy. And it was that, I was at, what do I want the next chapter to be? And it was like, I'm done with this. I've done this. And I also think as well, after a while, like the energy of the work was starting to get to me a bit, like I'd read hundreds of cases, because that was my job, to read case files and to kind of, so perhaps it was that, like the energy of the work was starting to drain me and I didn't know what to do. And I always do things a little bit drastically. It seems drastic because I don't tell people, but I've been thinking about it for a long time. So I had been, but then I was like, right, I'm closing my company down completely and I'm off to India for a couple of months. And my mum was just like, what are you doing? You know, you've got a really well-paid job. It's part-time. You don't even work full-time. Like, you know, and you get variety. And I was like, it's not bringing me joy. So once I made the decision, it was easy to make it. I did. I just closed my company and I went to India for 2 months. And then I knew that, and when I went to India, I was still in a bit of two minds about, I don't know whether I want to teach yoga. I want to go and immerse myself in yoga and then see. And I'll just trust that I'll know what to do by the time that that finishes. So it wasn't that's what I'm going to India to do. It was, I'm going to India to explore what I want to do, with yoga as a thought in my mind.
So did you do your teacher training while you were there?
So I guess you could say officially, but unofficially, it wasn't like an accredited school.
Yeah.
But it was an ashram. I'd stayed there before. And he's an amazing teacher, an Ayurvedic doctor. So it was like a fully immersive experience of, I don't know, 3 hours of yoga a day and like self-study. I was learning massage and all that kind of stuff. So and then he'd do like little lectures in the evening as well. And it's a tiny like ashram, so there's not many foreigners there at all. So I did that for 2 months, and he gave me his own certificate from that, because he has like a lot of Japanese go there and stay there. So he does do like programs that he runs. But I knew, obviously, teaching here, it's a bit different. So I came back and about maybe about 4 months after I came back, I went and did my teacher training.
And at that point, were you confident like that's what you wanted to do?
Yes. So I did that, and I took a massage course, which I don't really use since. So I was confident that's what I wanted to do. And I went and did the yoga teacher training after that. Yeah.
So when you did your teacher training and you weren't working, presumably you'd like, let's talk money. Presumably you'd built up a bit of funds when you were like, I'm closing my company. You know, you said it was drastic for people that didn't know, but you'd obviously been thinking about it for a while. You'd kind of built up some funds to support yourself for X period of time. So then when you come out of your teacher training, you'd got a bit of a cushion, I'm imagining. Well, you tell me. Tell me how it was.
I don't know. I had money to kind of go to India and a bit to do the training. I didn't really have like a good buffer of money, like a cushion or anything like that. So I knew that I would need to find work. And I guess that's the thing with me. I need a little bit of leverage as well. So I do things that I think, right, if I'm going to do this, I have to do it because I don't have a big buffer. So I knew like I couldn't really dilly-dally when I come out of teaching.
Yep.
Go and get work.
So what happened then? Where did you work?
So then I dilly-dallied. And
of course you did.
So I was just like, I'm clearly not ready. What the hell? I don't know what to do. What do you mean go and teach? I was just like, what? And so funny story, if you're interested in hearing this.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so.
Always up for a funny story.
Well, I think it's funny. When I think back at it now, it always gets a bit of a that. So one of the ladies I trained with on the teacher training, she contacted me. Maybe it wasn't that long. Maybe it was about 6 weeks after we graduated. And she said, my yoga teacher is going traveling and is looking for somebody to take her classes. And this girl couldn't because she was going off to uni. And she said, and I told her about you because obviously you're quite local. Should I put you in contact? And I was like, wow, yeah, she's got, I don't know, she had maybe two or three classes at a gym and she taught a corporate class as well. So I get to talking with this yoga teacher and she tells me, why don't you come along to the gym I teach on Friday night and take the class and I'll introduce you to the class. You know, we'll have a chat before, you know, but she said, you sound like you'd be great and I want to give you an opportunity. I was like, okay. So I turn up, we meet outside this gym and she's talking to me. And then she says, right, I'm going to go in and introduce you to the manager and then you're taking the class. I've got a DJing gig in Essex. I was like, sorry. So she literally, I think I was just so flabbergasted. I didn't know what to say. I was just like, what? So she did. Off she went. And I went in and taught her class.
And it's not just like, I'm not feeling very well. It's like, no, I'm off to be an Essex DJ.
I've got a DJing gig. And I was like, yeah, but like I had teacher insurance, but I was like, I haven't taught a class. I don't know your class. You know, I don't know like what you teach. I was just like flabbergasted. But it was literally about 15 minutes or so. She dropped this on me that her class was starting. So I didn't really, I could have said no, but being the polite person that I am, I went in and took her class. So on the one hand, I was just like disbelief. Like, how could you do that? And on the other hand, I guess I'm glad I did it. She did it because I just went in and I got over teaching that first class.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bit of a baptism of fire.
Yeah, something
to put it mildly.
I did end up taking her classes though while she went traveling.
You did, all of them. How did you get on at the gym then? I bet they were quite pleased to have you, weren't they?
Yeah, I think I taught differently to her and she was quite an experienced teacher. And it was good. She had a workplace gig going. So that was good for me to kind of get my head around, okay, this can work in workplaces as well. So I did that for about 4 months, I think, her three or four classes. And then she came back, and then I just lacked that confidence, and I didn't do anything for a couple of months. And then I got to the stage where I was like, okay, enough now, you need to go and do this. And so I set up my own little 6-week beginner's course, and that's how it started.
Yeah, that must have been hard, from taking over someone else's class, even on a temporary basis, to then have to step back and not do those anymore. To suddenly, that would be a bit of a loss, wouldn't it?
Because I haven't done anything in the interim about developing my own. And actually, although it was local, it was in another town, so it wasn't in my, like, in Luton where I teach. And I hadn't built, I wasn't on Facebook at the time. I'd been off Facebook for years or anything, so nothing like that. I didn't have following, if you want, or whatever. But once I finished it, then I was like, I need to do something. So after a couple of months, I was like, right, that's enough now.
Stop dilly-dallying and get your classes set up.
Yeah, you got to do something.
So pre-pandemic then, appreciate that was a while ago, but take us up to before, over a year ago, beginning of 2020, what was your kind of class profile like? Like, how much were you teaching? Were you teaching a lot of classes? Like, were you running around a bit like I was at that point?
Yeah. So I was teaching, 1 week I had an extra class. So it was either 14 or 15 classes a week. I was teaching just pre-pandemic.
How do you feel about that now?
Now I'm just how on earth? But even then I was thinking, how on earth? This isn't, I knew then it wasn't sustainable. So I'd already got to that kind of, something needs to change and be different. But yet at the same time, being stuck in there, like not knowing how to earn money whilst giving up classes, you know, and not having really the capacity to take on too much extra. So I was in that kind of, I need to work something out space. But yeah, I taught in a variety of settings. So they were different styles, types of classes as well. So, you know, they're not like 14, 15 strong vinyasa classes or anything like that. But no, a lot of traveling around. I'm somebody that likes to use props in my classes. So even in gyms, I would take my equipment in there because they didn't have blocks and things like that. I'd take my straps in there. So I was had like a little trolley, the trolley lady. So my boot was just permanently 10 yoga mats in, flat blocks, brick blocks, straps. And I'd be unpacking it into my trolley, going into the gym. And I'd get there early. So I'd be like at that gym about half an hour before the class would start.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, like my Sunday class, I did a Sunday class mega early there, always there early. And so when I start adding all that on, it's not just the 14, 15 classes, that hour, no, or whatever you're teaching, it's your travel and it's your prep and your packing away time.
Yeah.
I totally,
because at the start when you said about a number of hours, and I was like, yeah, I wasn't judgy. That's exactly the same situation that I was in, you know, boot full of mats. I didn't have a trolley. I had those fantastic blue IKEA bags. I was just humping them around on my back, like blocks, bricks. Yes, exactly the same. I mean, I didn't, like you, turn up at my gym classes half an hour before.
I'm more the like first one in that class, that's why. So I used to sneak in a little bit of a practice as well.
It was only 10 minutes from my house, my places, so I'd always cut it a bit fine and sort of breeze in, and people would be there waiting. I was never late, but I would always be because I knew that, like, if there was something happened on the road in the 10 minute journey, I'd be really angry, because it's like, why isn't my journey quick? Like, if they had those temporary lights, I'd be huffing and puffing, because instead of thinking, oh, you should have given yourself an extra 5 or 10 minutes. No, it's always
their fault,
this idiot on behind, this tractor behind or whatever. It's funny, isn't it, how much we were racing around, and like you said, different studios, different halls and things. Were you paying out hall hire as well, presumably, as your mileage?
So the only community class that I taught was once a week, and that's right, my longest standing class. So I had one, and I used to do a bi-monthly yin. I hired out another hall, and that would be like a 2-hour class, and then I'd do the odd workshop and stuff. But otherwise, I was taught in gyms. I taught for the NHS, a couple of after work classes for the NHS. And I taught in a care home. And I taught, I want to say four or five mental health classes. So I would go, and these were chair yoga classes. So I'd go into inpatient mental health hospitals and teach in there. So it was a variety of settings I was going into.
So March, it would have been a big halt to most of that, wouldn't it? Well, everything was halted, but I guess there wasn't any kind of chance of that sort of stuff coming back that quickly. And I remember back in March, we had a conversation when it was all kicking off, March or April, and we discussed about moving online and how terrified we were and all the tech and things and the pricing. And just about pricing in particular, I think we were both seeing a bit of a race to the bottom. And I was certainly conscious of people dropping their prices left, right and centre. And I was a bit panicked. So I'm sure we had a chat about it, didn't we? Can you remember?
What did you do in the end?
I just stuck. Yeah. I stuck with how they were before.
So did I.
I'm sure we gave each other a bit of a pep talk at the time.
I think we did, didn't we? And because actually, I don't think our community prices were steep. I've not raised my prices since I started teaching, really.
No.
And I did stick in the end, and that's good you did as well.
Yeah, because I think there were it more like last year when people realised it wasn't just going to be a month or so. There was a bit of a backtrack, wasn't there, where people were like, oh, how am I going to put them up again now? And I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I didn't move mine. And actually people, it's just about making options, I think. Is that what you found, like giving people more options so that if they can't afford the full price, they've got some other way of practicing with you? How did you approach it?
So I was quite transparent and always try to be. Like, I made a little video on Zoom to just say, hi guys, this is the situation I'm in. You all know that this is my full-time job. And obviously I've gone from 14 classes to nothing. It's my only income. This is what I'm planning on doing. Of course, some of you, you know, like me, might have some financial concerns. Please don't let that prevent you from reaching out to me and having a discussion, and we'll sort something out. And like, you know, I gifted for people that I knew, like, of their financial and situations, I had separate conversations with them and offered things. And then eventually, I think initially it was just like, okay, get a couple of classes up online. Because like you, it was unclear then, wasn't it? How long is this thing going to kind of stay around for, or how long are we not going to be teaching? And I think pretty quickly I realized, actually, this is probably going to be a while. I started to create memberships and different options.
And so did you start off teaching, you know, you said a couple of classes, did you up those? Like, how did you find it? Because I was teaching quite a lot initially. You didn't do that?
I put three on. So I kept the community class time that I used to.
Yeah.
And then I put a Friday yin class, because I thought, actually, I have some people that were just my yin classes, but I put that on. And then I taught a Sunday morning gym class, and I thought Sunday morning's quite a nice time, you know, people might feel motivated. So I put that on, and I've kept those three classes. I haven't added any like physical classes, but just recently I've added in a monthly yoga nidra class, and I've added in a monthly mudra meditation class. So they're quite two new additions, but again, just opening it up for other people that may not want to come on a class pass to my classes, and or people that have just got an interest in those specific things, because you can't always go into those things in a class environment. But I also was fortunate enough that the NHS have asked that I do a weekly recorded class. So that's continued throughout the whole year. And the mental health trust as well, the NHS trust, I teach for them it started as three times a week, it's still three times a week, it's just we did another one. So I've still got quite a good bank of classes, but I've just stuck with those three for my own.
So do you think how are you feeling about kind of opening things up now, like because it's all coming a bit quick, isn't it? All this opening up, even though it's been expected for a while, it still feels like it's coming under about an hour. That's from what I feel like that anyway. I mean, we're starting to see, like, we're just recording this just before I'm releasing the episode. So next week we're seeing things start to open up. So how do you feel about that?
I did a little video maybe beginning of March and said, here's my current thinking. This is not fixed in stone. I just kind of am going into things with the attitude that this kind of period of time, what it's taught me is that we can pivot. You know, there's more ways to work than what you think there are, and that we're more adaptable and resourceful than we think. And I just think, this is what I'd like to do. This is what I'm going to try and do. And if that doesn't work, then I'll change it. And I know I can change it, because, of course, you know, things depend on demand. And I actually have liked teaching online, I have to say, because I've not missed running about. I think my classes, actually, my teaching's got better in terms of creativity and my themes. I think I spend more time on them. My self-practice has improved, and massively, my own interest in studying, because I've got more space and time to do that. And so I don't want to go back to teaching that. And I knew I didn't want to teach that many classes anyway. So ideally, I gave my gym classes up anyway last year when we could have gone back. I just said nah. And I'm glad I made that decision, because look what's happened. You know, three times I think that gym had to close down, and that would have been me. So I don't have those classes to return to. So I'm going to aim to keep two online and see if the demand continue, and I'm going to take one back in person.
Right.
And concentrate on things like, I love teaching workshops and retreats. I just love the deep dives and the kind of spending time and that kind of deeper connection. So that's where I'm going to kind of pull my energies and resources more into.
And have you got any specific events planned that you can tell people about at this stage, or not really?
Not really. I mean, I was running retreats with a really good friend of mine beforehand. We haven't put anything in for this year. I mean, our retreats have all been in England, but we'd hope to do that next year. I started just before lockdown to do seasonal retreats, so based on the seasons, from the traditional Chinese medicine lens, and it was kind of like seasonal self-care, so movement, nutrition, like what type of emotional work that you could be focusing on. And I ran one online just a couple of months ago. So I'll continue those. And then I'm going to add in some more seasonal kind of base stuff in the workshops.
So as well as more, because the extra time you've had on your hands, as well as more time doing self-practice and just thinking more about the classes that you deliver, what else have you been doing with your extra time? I think I can see from your Facebook, you've been spending a bit of time with your mum.
Yeah. I mean, I work a lot. I have to say, I treat this as like a full-time job, and I didn't always. And it was the lovely Dawn who we're connected through.
Yep, Dawn Wright.
Yoga business mentor.
Yeah.
Who really instilled that into me. And I really realized that actually I wasn't treating this as a job. I was treating the teaching as a job. So I would just kind of go and teach, and then I'd be like, oh, I've got an hour free, like, you know, I'll go, what are you doing, like, to my mate or something. So like I officially work every day, but over the winter I decided, my thing is I choose like a word for my business and a word for my personal life every year. And so one of my things this year is to really immerse myself in seasonal living. So I was like, right, I'm having a wintering period. I'm really going to hanker down, and I'm going to slow down and rest. And I'm going to spend more time with my mum. We live together anyway, so we spend time together. So I decided to spend more time with my mum. And I said that my mum didn't know about box sets, because she just went to me, God, like, isn't it great? Like, we've had Netflix and Prime. Who knew it was a thing? I was like, well, I did, mum, but you didn't.
she didn't know about box sets.
So she's like, it's hilarious, because so we've like caned box sets. Like, we've spent like after like finish at three, I'll finish at three, and like we're down there watching it. So now she's discovered it, like she's gone rogue on her own. But she's like, I'm watching this Spanish film. I'm like, all right. I was like, that's a series you're watching. So she hasn't quite got that some things are series and some things are films.
Yeah. She's just loving all the Netflix and she just can't get enough. So cool. Are you, so what, I always ask people about TV because there's not really as much to ask. What's, could you recommend a couple of your box sets then?
I have to say, like, these are kind of things I've already watched that I knew that my mum would like and that I'd watched so long ago that, and I enjoyed them at the time, I was like, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Like, so we went through 24, we watched Homeland. Wow. Yes. But if I could recommend a box set like that I'm currently watching and love, it's This Is Us.
Oh.
Have you not heard of it?
Yes. No, hang on. I'm getting confused with Ordinary People, I think. This Is Us. Who's in that?
It's an American show.
No. Amazing. I was getting confused with Ordinary People. Why is it so good?
It's so clever is the first thing. It's like so, so clever. And it's so relatable that you're like, I don't know. It's just relatable to your life, even some of the experiences that you've not gone through, but you can just relate to the emotions, the character development, and is really good. I love it. It's really clever. So give it a try.
This okay.
Amazon Prime.
Okay. Thank you for that recommendation. We just finished watching last night we watched a double because we were so hooked. It was Behind Her Eyes.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's on our list.
I mean, it's a slow burner. And my husband was like, I don't really want to watch that tonight. So it took ages for us to get through it. Because last night I was like, look, I'm putting my foot down. I need to watch more of it because otherwise I'm going to lose the thread or I'm just going to watch it on my own. That's the threat. Like, I'll just watch it and you won't ever see it again. Or just have to do your own thing. So we watched one last night. It was the fifth one. There's only six, I think. And the fifth one was like, oh, we've got to watch the last one. So we did a double last night. Worth hanging in for,
That's the thing. My mum's like attention span's not the great, so I have to like you have to reel her in quick, otherwise she's gone. And I did hear that about that one, so I was like, I might have to put that on my list. What about Line of Duty? Watching Line of Duty?
No, I'm not into that. I haven't seen. I think I tried to watch the first one. I couldn't get on board with it. It's sad, isn't it? Before the pandemic, we didn't watch Gogglebox, but now I love a bit of Gogglebox. I always used to think, watching other people watch telly, that's not for me. But now it's one of my favourite things. So I've watched Line of Duty through the eyes of Jenny and Lee.
That's fine, then. That is fine. Isn't it? Don't you think this period of our life is just going to be punctuated with pre-pandemic, pre-lockdown, post-lockdown?
Well, I hope post-lockdown. But yeah, definitely. It's definitely changed things. Like, this is going to be my second birthday in lockdown next week.
Oh, really? Oh,
or, yeah. Actually, this week on Sunday.
Early happy birthday. Are you doing anything nice?
Well, no, because we're still in, we can't go out. But Saturday night, I'm hosting a yoga party for one of my clients. I put out there that I would do, like if someone had a birthday or something and they wanted to get their friends together on Zoom, then I would do something. So I'm doing one of those Saturday nights. We're having an 80s themed yoga party. Seriously? For her 40th. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then Monday, everything lifts. So I've got... and my birthday being Sunday, we are in a pub beer garden on Monday afternoon.
Monday morning.
Lunch and knocking on the door, let me in. No, we booked it for the afternoon. Big dog walk in the morning and then afternoon in the beer garden. Hopefully the weather won't be too nasty.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, we've gone off track a little bit. Can I just bring us back to yoga? I just wanted, while we're off yoga, actually, this is really nosy of me, but are you single?
Yes.
Have you been tempted by online dating?
No.
Okay.
No. One of my friends is always like, why don't you just give it a try? I'm like, Jackie is my friend. Seriously, Jackie, I struggle enough with like having a website and doing things on social media, let alone thinking about my face being on some dating profile. So no, I haven't been tempted.
Thank you for letting me know. I just wanted to be incredibly nosy and ask you. We'll move back to yoga now. So I know you said you've taken a bit of time to think about what you want your business to go look like going forwards, less in-person classes, still a bit of online, so a bit of a mixture, and retreats. Is that right? Sort of day retreats, monthly, seasonal stuff?
Yeah.
Is that where you're going to focus on in the future?
Yeah, I think so for now. Yeah, so maybe kind of more one-off things. I've kind of got like a wellness membership, so I might revisit that at some point and see whether I can develop that a little bit further.
Is that because I know you're really into like healthy eating and nutrition? Does that involve that a little bit more as well?
Yeah, so it's kind of like this concept of wellness, like, you know, your whole life, movement and, you know, mindfulness, mindset, nutrition. So I've tried to combine all of that. And I've got two kind of memberships. So it's called the Wellness Club. So they just have different tiers, basically. But on one of the tiers, it does incorporate more of like food, the element of food. Because when I was thinking about whether to teach yoga, there was a period where I was kind of like, yoga teacher or chef, what do I want to be? And I looked into some kind of residential cooking schools and stuff like that, because food's a massive love of mine.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because you have I can see from the work that you do, it's you put a real focus on healthy eating and nutrition. Have you always had that positive relationship with food?
No.
No. You surprised me there. I thought you were going to be, yes, I have. No, okay.
I haven't. I guess there was a period of time I just didn't really know anything about what's healthy or what's not. It wasn't really, I think for a period, I didn't even think about it as such. And I can't say like my diet was terrible. I didn't really have a sweet tooth at that point. I was more of a savory girl. Suddenly that's changed. I blame my mum, hanging out with my mum. But I didn't always have a healthy relationship. And then I didn't have a healthy relationship with food because I didn't have a healthy relationship with myself. And so once I kind of found my way back to a bit of balance and a bit of health, I just realized how important that was. And then I went super deep into, like, you know, how much what we eat and how much what we bring in, like anything in terms of what we bring in, becomes us, and it affects everything, and it affects our moods and like our energy levels. And I'm quite sensitive to that now because I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination with my food, you know, and sometimes I go down the like carbohydrate city kind of road, and I know it and I feel it. I'm quite sensitive to that, and I feel like, God, I feel really sluggish, and I know that's my food. I definitely know that's my food. And people love food too, and I'm all about trying to hook people at different ways, because I think sometimes the word yoga puts a barrier up for some people. They just switch off straight away when you say yoga, but you say, want to learn how to cook healthy, or do you want to taste, and people are in. So yeah, it's a long-winded conversation, sorry, answer to give you.
No, I was wondering what if you had a recommendation for a bit of a crowd pleaser meal or something sort of retreat worthy, because I've seen some lovely recipes on your Facebook. So what do you think works in that kind of
people love setting? The food. We cook the food at our retreat, so we always do it the food at our retreat, and it go, and people, because I'm plant-based, I think, like, I remember the first one we had, and a lot of the people that came were like my Tuesday class regulars, and they kind of confided afterwards that they were really nervous because a lot of them were meat eaters, and they were like, oh God, a weekend with no meat, and they were like, I don't think I've ever eaten so much food and felt nourished. So, okay, a good meal. So I can give you something that you could go away and try, which isn't hard. It's not really like a meal, but it whenever I do it, it goes down well. So it's a Mexican bean salad. So basically black beans and sweet corn rinsed in a bowl. And then you put it in a bowl. And then slice like a red onion up, or half a red onion, salt the onions, so quite a bit of salt with lime juice, so like a whole lime, and then you just pour that, leave that to marinate a little bit, and then you pour that to the sweet corn and the black beans, chop coriander in it, and then chop up an avocado in it, and it's the most freshest, light, kind of zingy salad. It's just lovely. This time of year, it's a really nice salad, and it's got everything. It's got some good fat from the avo, and you've got a little bit of protein and carbs from the beans, and a taste sensation in your mouth.
Oh, that I'm dribbling a little bit now. That just sounds lush.
It's lovely. It was, and you can add to it. You can chop up peppers. You can put tomatoes in there. Like, you know, you can kind of put stuff in there. So it tastes better the next day, that kind of thing.
And are you watching MasterChef?
I haven't this season. Like, that's normally one that we do. I haven't actually, because I've just like TV'd out with the box set. So I'm not actually watching any telly aside from the box set
the box sets.
But my mum watches things and gives me the full lowdown. So I feel like I'm watching it.
I mean, it's good. It's worth watching. I'm not up to date yet, but it's nearly the end now,
isn't it? So I've missed out.
Yeah. It's like, I like to watch it when I'm eating, because it makes me think my food is that food instead of the food I've just prepared.
Are you a cook? Yours.
Huh?
Are you a cook?
Yeah, I do the cooking. I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm a good cook. I like one pot things. So, you know, on MasterChef, like they always poo-poo one pot people. You don't go on there if you can just do a really good chili or a nice risotto, or, you know, you can't just do that. You've got to be getting loads of different processes and techniques, haven't you? And you know, your sous vide and your
cauliflower three ways.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind that cauliflower three ways, but it's more like, because of being veggie, I just think people that are veggie on there, I don't really stand much hope.
No.
Because and also I think the bit veggie people that you see often have an Indian influence, and they can really they're really good with the herbs and their spices. Whereas I'm not really good with the herbs and spices either. So I just like, my mum never cooked with herbs or spices. Okay.
If there's a one pot MasterChef show, you can go on.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I'm trying, but I didn't get into the old banana bread, like. I didn't feel like baking was the thing that was going to take up my time, and no, not really. I did want to ask you before we come into my normal closing questions. Have you ever experienced racism in the yoga setting, either as a student or a teacher? And I think I'm a bit nervous about asking you, to be honest.
In what way? Do you ask these questions on all your interviews?
No. That's why.
Interesting then, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh God.
It's no. But I mean, it's always kind of like, I think that question can feel like time stands still, and it's just like, have I said things the right way? And
yeah,
I think it's really important that we have these conversations. And I can't say, like, I guess the thing that I notice, I can't say like I can think about a direct like racism as a student in yoga that I've experienced, but you notice the gap. You notice that. So what I notice is, and this is kind of goes back to an experience I had in junior school. Like, it was our first week away from home. We went to Wales, and there were two schools there, and on the last evening there was a disco between the two schools. I think prior to that you were just in your own school, and one of the kids from the other school kind of referred to the fact that I can't remember, like, either that I was black or some made some comment, and then I realized that I was the only black child there, and I hadn't realized that until that point. And I don't know, so I do kind of have this look around to see now, and I've noticed, particularly in not just in class settings, but certainly in class settings, but also in yoga teacher trainings, like, I don't see a lot, hardly any actually, black women or men in those trainings. There is a noticeable absence.
Yeah. There was one black girl in my training out of 12.
Yeah, I really don't.
I don't think she's teaching now.
Interesting, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Wasn't any of mine. And like I've done like a number of courses, and yeah, something that I've certainly noticed.
And what do you think the barriers are?
Relatability.
Right.
But I think that for a big cross section of society and community, like with yoga, really, that kind of image portrayal about who it's for. Mm. Or what it is. So I guess that's going to be off-putting. It's just like if you look at something and it doesn't resonate with you and your kind of lens of the world. And you know, let's face it, yoga is like the way it's marketed is very aesthetic, isn't it? It's a physical practice that's normally talked about because that's often the common thing that people will say, I'm not flexible. Like, oh, I couldn't get my body in those positions. So I think there's a huge gap there.
Well, thank you for talking to me about that. I mean, what do you feel like about this diversity issue? Is it an issue? Well, it is an issue. What do you feel about it?
I noticed, like, I had a subscription to a well-known, like, I feel like, you know, seeing as this has been recorded, a well-known yoga magazine for about a year. And I was very conscious to look at the front cover and who they had on the front cover. Now, what's interesting is that whenever they had somebody of a larger body or, you know, maybe with a disability or a different color tone, it was a feature. It wasn't a norm. Do you know what I mean? It just wasn't that you were on the cover as a woman in a larger body. It was yoga for larger women. So that kind of annoys me. But I kind of, this has been really interesting and I don't know how well this will come out of my mouth because it's very much a kind of conversation I'm having in my own head quite recently about how I feed into or kind of this kind of cultural appropriation of yoga. And is what I am teaching, can I call that yoga in that kind of purest sense? So this is kind of this ongoing conversation that I'm currently having with myself. And I think it's a health, I guess people are just frightened of saying the wrong thing, aren't they? And so we
can't
say something, but actually I have to kind of take a bit of accountability. Like how many black yoga teacher classes do I seek out? But even more than that, how many Indian yoga teacher classes do I go to? Like, I haven't been back to India since 2015. You know, and like I teach bits, parts, and I leave some bits out. I'm very much into now traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong and seasonal kind of living. And I bring a lot of that into my classes. So I'm kind of moving into calling my classes something different than yoga.
Mm. God, that's a really interesting thought. I'm going to have to take that away and chew on it for a bit, I think.
it's in my head. I just, you know, I guess until, I suppose we have to question that of ourselves. It's easy to kind of say, you know, I think that there was a stage where accessibility became a bit of a buzzword and my classes are accessible and I offer modifications for all people and that. But yeah, I think we have to go a bit deeper than that. And I've read some really interesting articles about cultural appropriation and I was just like, oh my God, yeah, like, you know, how it's just been turned into fashion. Like, you know, this is somebody's like a culture's practice and sacredness, like the om signal and how that's on our clothing and things like that. And it's just, I hadn't thought about it. So it's just something to sit and think about.
Mm, definitely. Definitely. Well, I'm going to move on to lighter topics now.
Sorry.
No, you're not good. Don't be sorry. Like, that's the thing. And it is like, it's having that conversation and it's not being nervous about it. I've you know, and trying to get things a bit more talked about, isn't it? So hopefully that will encourage other people to have a bit of a think about as well, and like a look at your, like look at ourselves a bit more. I certainly will be doing a bit more after our conversation. What I ask people as well now at the end, well, towards the end, is what are you most proud of in your life so far, Melissa?
Oh, gosh, wow. What am I most proud of in my life so far? I would have to say that it's that I haven't settled. I think one of my biggest drivers is regret. And so even though there might be things that I'm scared of doing, I think, will I, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to live a longer life and get to old age, will I look back at this as a decision that I wish I would have done and I should have done? And so I try my hardest not to settle for things out of fear and to just try something. If that's what I feel in my heart, then I believe that I can't go wrong. Even if it doesn't work out, if I feel inclined to do something, and that's like I've made many decisions based on that, like the India thing, it just felt right. You know, I've left a job when I had a mortgage and I didn't have a job to go to, and it just felt like right in my bones, and people were like, have you won the lottery, what are you doing? So I guess that's what it is.
That sounds like something brilliant to be proud of. And also, okay, if you weren't a yoga teacher, what would you be?
Oh God, I'm going to be like one of those cliche people that would be like, at this point in my life, honestly, hand on heart, there isn't anything I'd rather be doing than this. I'm happy. Because I kind of live and breathe it. So I love it. However, I'll tell you, like, I have these funny thoughts, like if I was born a man, what I would have loved is to have been a Shaolin monk. So like, yeah, so if I could do something else, it would be that.
God, I was expecting you at one point then just not answer the question at all, and then you come in with a thing like, I'm actually going to totally change sex and be a Shaolin monk. Oh, classic. Okay, good. Leads us on to the quick fire questions now. So just say what you feel. There's no right or wrong answer.
No, because you know what? I'm one of those people. People go, what's your favourite such and such? And I'd be like, oh, it depends what mood I'm in. So I'm one of those annoying people. So let's see.
I'm in an R in. Yeah, just try and think of like one answer. Say on one hand this and the other hand that. Yeah. Okay, late to bed or early to rise?
Oh, easy. Early to rise.
Favourite tune to dance to?
Oh, God. Oh, I'm loving a bit of Chaka Khan's, can't remember the title. Sweet Like Sugar, I think it is, something like that, but that's a good boppy tune.
Good. What do you look up to? Who do you look up to?
My mum.
Oh. Favourite film, please?
Oh, God, that's the one where I'd be like, oh, well, it depends. Oh, God, it does. Let me just choose one.
You can have a couple. I'll give you a couple.
Okay. I love Good Will Hunting. I haven't seen that film for ages.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll just go there because there's loads, but that's not like my favourite of all time.
But it's a goodie, isn't it?
It's a goodie. Like, I'll come back to that. Do love that film.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know about cool. 6? I don't know.
Mountainside or lakeside?
Oh, lakeside, against the mountains.
That's a good answer. Tom Hanks or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh, like, in, well, I have to go, said Leonardo came to mind, but then the brain starts coming in. It's like Tom's more versatile, but I said it, Leonardo.
What's your star sign?
Capricorn.
Who would you swap lives with just for a day?
Maybe I'd go Oprah, because she's just interviewed so many amazing people.
Countryside or city?
Countryside.
If you owned a yacht, what would you call it?
Slice of Heaven. I think because I'm watching Dexter. Is that Dexter's boat? And there might be Dexter's.
I haven't seen Dexter. From?
I think that's like, just in case someone else goes, that's Dexter's. I am watching that with my mum at the moment. Spoiler alert.
Is it worth watching? Is that a good one?
You know what? It was at the time. I'm not enjoying it the second time round. I don't know if it looks a little bit dated.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it the first time, but I'm kind of like a bit like, meh. Yeah.
What's at the top of your bucket list, Melissa?
Do more travelling.
Yeah, I hear that. Describe your baddest and brightest leggings.
Oh, God, yeah. Do you know, like, this is just a new kind of thing because I'm filming now. So, like, getting brighter leggings, I think I was a bit boring before. I've got, like, a kind of pinky blue kind of pair. I think that's as wild. And as, like I said, I'm a 6 on the cool scale as I've got.
Where's your favourite place in the whole wide world?
God. I do have an affinity with Kerala, like when I go to India. But then give me a little bit of New York as well. Like, you know, for the six out of 10% of me that's cool, I do love New York.
And what's your favourite yoga pose?
Oh, man. Do you know what? I have to say, I love a down dog. I do love a down dog. And
you're not the first person to say that.
Really, like, I've noticed I tell you what I do love, though, and I do this, like, after a day's work. I get the bolster and I lay back. You know the chest opener? You just lay straight back on that bolster.
Oh, I love it.
A bit of music on. That's where you'll find me, like, about 3:30 every afternoon.
Lovely, nice. Soles of the feet together, knees wide, or just straight out?
Yeah, I mix it all up.
Doesn't matter, as long as the bolster's under the back.
Yeah, I think I'll start off a little bit soles of the feet together, then I might knock the knees together, or then I end up straight. But yeah, love me some of that.
Thank you so much for answering those questions for me. I just want to finish now on your Savasana sounds, if you've got one. Do you have a favourite music or a track that you could give advice to listeners to have a little try of?
I have a huge yoga playlist. I love a little instrumental. I love Shavasana. So there'll be things like from East Forest.
Is that an artist?
They're an artist, yeah. So I've gone through quite a few of those. And they're not all Shavasana songs, but there's some nice ones for that.
Okay.
Garth Stevenson.
Oh yeah, that's I think Christine Blair recommended him because I'm like a fan now. I'd never heard before, and I was like, oh, I love this.
Yeah, he's lovely. So I do enjoy his. He's been on repeat. What are they called? I think, hold on a minute, because I think I've got it down somewhere before I say it wrong. Oh, Beautiful Chorus.
Okay.
Face him. It's just somebody humming. It's just very relaxing. It's really nice. And I've had a lot of people come up after and say, what was that song that you were playing? So they like that. And then there's another one. I quite like a lot of traditional, like, Indian music as well. There's another one called Saraswati Ma. I wouldn't pronounce it. It's Benji. People know the singer, but can't pronounce his surname. But I love that one because that's a kind of right at the end of class when you're just kind of windshield wiping the knees and you're just slowing down. And I love doing that to that song and then just becoming still. She's got a female voice on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to look that up, see if I can find the proper name for it. But I'll put the other stuff on the episode notes so people can have a little.
I've got it, so I can kind of type it to you.
Yeah, okay.
Come back, like, if you've got some, because I'm always looking for new music.
Well, it's all on, go on the podcast. I put it all in the episode notes. So all the tracks that people have, I mean, this is what episode, where are we? 21. So you'll have at least, I mean, I'd say there's 20, but some people are like, no, I like silence. Some people like Birdsong. So it's not all, I haven't got an amazing list of tracks yet to do some sort of compilation playlist.
That's the thing, but, isn't it? It's like after, you know, that could be when you're celebrating your 50th podcast, here's like a Shavasana playlist from
Welcome to Sleep, that's what I'd call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you so much for chatting to me, Melissa. It's been so great to get to know you a bit better. And what's the best way for listeners to contact you?
So I've got my website, which is www.melissacampbell.co.uk. I've also got a free Facebook. I don't know why I say free Facebook, because I keep saying that. And then afterwards I think nothing is like paid for on Facebook. Anyway, I have a Facebook group. So that's where I tend to hang out more inside, and I do like wellness challenges and things. So at the moment we're doing like a 5-day mindful morning challenge. So that's probably, that group is currently called, I say currently, Everyday Wellness for Women. But if you go on my website, there's a link to join that, and you can subscribe to my newsletters. I do a weekly newsletter as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Please, listeners, contact Melissa, tell her what you thought. And also, if you've got any questions for her or for me, any feedback, we'll be happy to answer questions or feedback. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to That Yoga Woman's podcast with me, Jules Buchanan. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it, share it on social media, rate it, write a nice review, and subscribe to That Yoga Woman's podcast. Links and information can be found on the episode page in the podcast section of my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/podcast. If you'd like to show some support for the podcast, you can do that through PayPal. The donation link is www.paypal.me/thatyogawoman. The last thing I'll mention is my line of organic cotton yoga-inspired tops. I designed a small range of vests, tees and sweatshirts that are perfect to teach or do yoga in. Have a look online, check out my shop on my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/shop. Have a look around my store and make an order. See you soon.